Welcome to The Odds Couple, a presentation of ESPN Chicago. The Odds Couple is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas. The Odds Couple. Here's your hosts, Mike North and Carmen DeFalco.
Welcome into your weekend. Time for another episode of The Odds Couple presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike North and Carmen DeFalco with you as we roll into weekend number one of all the madness. The NCAA tournament has tipped off. We already saw one pretty significant upset yesterday with three-seeded Kentucky Wildcats going out early once again in the NCAA tournament. The Big Ten off to a good start with more games to go today. What a weekend we've got in store, Mikey. Lots of fun stuff to talk about in terms of the tournament, baseball's opening day right around the corner, and of course, Shohei Ohtani potentially being involved in a gambling scandal in Southern California. Oh, my goodness. How are we going to get it all in, my friend?
Well, you know what? We'll do the best we can. And hi to everybody. Hi to our executive producer, the great Eric Ostrowski. And, of course, the best in the business, Carmen DeFalco. We get it always. We always get it in. The Ohtani thing was predicted on this show three, 4 years ago. I said there'd be three major scandals before you know it. We have a situation now where it's under the radar. They're trying to squash the story probably as we speak because of March Madness. Not a whole lot out there today. The first game of the series that I watched, you couldn't get enough of seeing his wife on the screen. She saw she had more people, cameras on her than Taylor Swift did.
Right.
And then when the scandal came out, you couldn't find her the next day. There's a lot of fishy things about this story. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, I've been compared to Gumshoe at times. Oh, yeah. A la Columbo, if you will. The guy that's ready to walk out the door, but one more thing. You know, I just got to know. A very private man announces his marriage about 2 weeks ago, and about the time maybe they were down $3.5 million, because you don't carry an interpreter for $4.5 million that's on a salary of $350,000. Baseball will try to squash this. I've been in this business 60 years, but I've been betting. No, I've been in the business 32 years, but I've been betting since I was 14. Yeah. They don't carry a guy like him unless the other guy's betting too. Period. End of story. Or the guy says, I'll try to get the money, but that's not a for sure. Now, when you fail to pay up the money and you let it go to $4 million, then it leaks out. Then everybody's got a problem. And Ohtani's judgment here is piss poor. He's the golden child of baseball, and this will follow him around. It's a stained tide, can't get out, Carm. It's going to follow him around for a long time, but consequences never mattered to Rob Manfred. Because Rob Manfred didn't punish the Astros, take away their title in 2017. You will see players from that team, including the buzzer beater, the second baseman, Altuve, get into Hall of Fame someday. And now you got this, and you know what? If they would have not given them immunity, some players were thrown out of the game. Then guess what? This doesn't happen. But now you're in bed with gambling houses. You have them attached to your stadiums. You have them next to the hot dog stand. Yep. And I'm supposed to believe anything that Major League Baseball, who changed their story, the Dodgers yesterday, from, yeah, it's his account, to, oh, no, he stole. Well, that guy stole.
It changed on a dime. And that's what was weird about the whole thing. You're right, Mike. It went from, he helping out a friend and covering his gambling debt to he being the victim of theft. And it's like, wait a minute, how did that story change so quickly?
They were joking in the dugout on Saturday together. They had their arms around each other. Not Saturday, the first game of the series. Okay, I watched it. These guys, this is a whole big cover-up. Major League Baseball's got this big problem over their head that everybody predicted would, well, not everybody, but predicted would happen. And then the lack of consequences for gambling and the partnership that is at an all-time high. I listened to this Temple 2 weeks ago. There was a major scandal, and there's six players that were being fingered along with major bookmakers.
Right.
And then they're playing. And then they're playing. That would have never happened 10 years ago. It wouldn't have happened 5 years ago. And now this Ohtani for opening day is going to come up there and bet. They got a problem. Manfred was a weakling on this from the beginning.
The other thing that stands out about this story is a couple of things here. You really have to suck at gambling if you're down $4.5 million. I mean, at some point, somebody's got to tell you to quit. $4.5 million, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but $4.5 million, if you're making $700 million,
well,
like you with 50 bucks in your pocket, Carm.
Sweet, maybe you're right. I mean,
come on, that's a nothing.
$4.5 million. million. My God. And then the other thing is, what kind of a bookmaker is taking wire transfers?
And illegal.
I never heard of such a thing, Mike.
An illegal bookmaker is West Coast Gambling. And you know what? This has been going on.
Wire transfers? You're asking for trouble.
Well, absolutely. And,
what are you doing?
And look, I'm not saying that Ohtani gambled at all or gambled once. I'm saying you knew your guy had a problem. You've been carrying your guy for a long time, even if you didn't gamble.
Yeah.
And you didn't alert Major League Baseball. And you dealt with an illegal bookmaker. And it was your account. So guess what? Under the old rules, when you actually had to pay a ton of bail to get out on a murder in this country, where you get out for free now, this will probably be buried, okay, over the next week, except by me and other people. Because, you know what? I love gambling, but I'm starting to think that we were better off, I'm talking about when you just talked about the point spreads on the air, but now it's full-fledged. They're big-time partners.
Yep.
And now you got to talk about Pete Rose. Now you got to talk about Shoeless Joe Jackson. Because this guy here, if he takes the plate and there's no suspension at all, baseball has lost their integrity. Well, they lost it already in a lot of ways, but they've lost their integrity for sure.
We will see where this story goes in the coming days, but it was a pretty big bombshell revelation.
I mean,
I know some of it, like Mike said, is kind of that they're probably somewhat fortunate, or maybe baseball somewhat relieved that it happened when it did with the tournament tipping off, because that's really where a lot of the focus is. But we will follow this story in the coming days and weeks, and obviously here on the Odds Couple, because it is what we do. We wanted to address that to get things going. But tournament time is here.
Oh, baby, let's go.
Fun day yesterday. Kentucky really hurting a lot of people's bracket. I think like less than 0.5% of the brackets remain intact, you know, really because of probably more than anything else, the Kentucky loss, maybe the South Carolina loss too. The Kansas game last night was a great finish, although that one came with controversy, Mike.
Oh,
Kansas had a big lead, looked like it was going to cover the seven, didn't happen, hung on to win at the end, but really Kansas benefited from a very favorable call where Timberlake was certainly not fouled at the end of that game when it was just a one-point game. He should not have gone to the line for two free throws. That was a very fortuitous break or bounce, if you will, for the Kansas Jayhawks.
The referee's looking right at it. I see him raise his hand every time, and it was the fall.
When the all ball, Mike, ball. Right? I mean, no question. That was all ball.
It was all ball, but the fall after that made it look like he was chopped in half.
Yeah.
Okay? So this ref, instead of doing the right thing and swallowing the whistle, screws him. Now, in a day and age where, you know what, they will look at replay if there's maybe you need to put one more second on the clock, okay, at the end of a quarter or something like that. You don't look at that. You don't look at that. You can't look that back and say, look, it's unfair to these kids, but this is the way that it's been. I happened to be a beneficiary of this yesterday because I did the old double trouble that I call it. I had the money line with Kansas, and I had plus 7 the other way.
Oh, you hit it. I love that.
I hit
nice
both.
Job. You hit
only,
both.
But you know what? I almost felt bad about what happened because I could have ended up screwing that. Now, I'm going to tell everybody, take it easy. Be disciplined. The first two games yesterday I gambled, I lost. Then, Carm, the game of golf. I was 2-0 last week, 2-0 in basketball. You were 1-0. Eric hit, he had a loss, but we were 5-1 overall.
Beautiful.
Now I'm going to tell you this. I didn't know he was back. Lucas Glover. He wins a big one for me against Maverick McNeely, who played okay, but if you watched him Sunday, and what a day I had with Chef. Chef, that's what I call him now, my guy Scheffler. What a day. But all I'm going to say is Lucas Glover got me back on the right track, and then in the afternoon the games were better. But I would watch out today, folks, because the casinos, with the Oregon game especially, took a beating yesterday.
Yeah, the favorites go 10-6 against the number. And, you know, most of the public normally playing favorites.
What was the score of the Creighton game? They needed Creighton minus 12.
Creighton covered. Creighton did cover. That was one. I had three bets yesterday. I only won one of them. I went 1-2 yesterday.
That's not bad. See, that's what you're
talking about. Yeah, it's okay. I had Kansas. I thought it looked good for most of the night, and that last 10 minutes, it just kind of disappeared. But Creighton did cover. Creighton looked good. I mean, Creighton's. Yeah, go ahead.
Dayton. I was down 19 with 7 minutes left. Penn, Dayton came back and won.
Oh, that was crazy. We were talking about that this morning,
believe
too.
It.
Crazy.
I couldn't believe it. I shut it off. I moved on. I was watching a Western.
I think everybody did.
Channel. Yeah, and, I was watching Tombstone or Laramie or one of the things.
I don't know how Nevada choked that one away.
I thought
Illinois looked good yesterday again.
Yes.
I mean, Illinois has really gone into this tournament playing good basketball.
I hate to sound like Lisa Salters or Mark Jackson, but Illinois sort of snuck up on me. Because, you know, I know something. We talked about DePaul last week.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. I gamble on college basketball almost every night, so I watch the game. So I think I bet Illinois twice, and I go off some services sometimes. You know, I tell my book, you know, sometimes, in other words, DraftKings or one of those doesn't have Illinois on their app. You can't bet.
Because you can't bet the state schools. That's why.
Right.
It's so silly.
So I hardly saw Illinois at all this year.
Right, yeah.
And they're a good club.
They're good. They played well down the stretch here,
good
Mike.
Good second half team.
And let's see, can they get over the hump and can Brad Underwood get to that second weekend as they have a pretty good game, it looks like, tomorrow against the Duquesne team that played well. And a Duquesne team that pulled one of the minor upsets of the day.
But Oakland's the one. And that kid, how are you, John Calipari? And he's taken a lot of hits and deservedly so today because he's had 20 over 20 NBA stars.
Mm-hmm.
He's won one title. Okay. How do you – the kid that killed him is 24 years old. The more experienced teams, if you watch folks in the tournament, are beating the less experienced teams. It's not just Kentucky. But that kid, I don't know, Gulick?
I think it's Golkey, I think?
Golkey.
I think it's Golkey, I think. That's how you say it.
He shot 8 twos all year and over 300 three-point shots, and Calipari never put Shepard on him until the second half, and that kid went off, and there was nobody on him half the time.
He had a monster game. You're right.
I don't think they thought he was going to hit those shots, but this kid's got that pedigree, and he's not afraid. I mean, that was a great game, and they said they're not playing no Cinderella stuff. They think they can win this thing.
Did you see the way they reacted in their locker room afterwards? I think you're right. They were like, we knew we were going to go in there and beat Kentucky. That was impressive.
How about the coach? I coached for 6 years, folks, and I'm still tired. You know what I mean? How about the guy that's been there 40 years for Oakland, and he ends up?
Pretty awesome.
I mean,
great.
Think
this is why we love
great.
The tournament. It's great stuff.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Luke Pergandy. His Arizona Wildcats, after a sluggish start, really flexed yesterday. We'll see how he feels, and we'll see what's hot going into, you know, day two today, and then all the matchups to determine the Sweet 16 later this weekend. Mike and I will give you some best plays before we're done. I want to sneak in some baseball talk ahead of opening day. The season officially opened with that Seoul series in South Korea, but, of course, opening day around the rest of the bigs is next week, so want to try to get a few baseball things in. We got a lot to do. It's going to be a busy show. We're going to pack a lot of great content in for you. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. We are the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is the Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Every week on the ESPN Chicago app, just download it. You can catch up on demand. You get Mike and Carmen talking sports and sports gambling. We have a blast, and we always enjoy talking to one of our favorite guests. He's a weekly contributor, one of the founding members of PropSwap.com and the great PropSwap app. If there's ever a time to have it, it's a weekend like this, ladies and gentlemen. So stop waiting and check it out for yourself. He joins us now on the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline. It's Luke Pergandy.
Okay, ready to roll.
Hey, guys.
Arizona, after a sluggish start, your Cats kind of flexed in the last sort of 25, 30 minutes of that game. How you feeling? And, you know, how do you think? You know, we talked about it last week. It's sort of sad to see, like, that last Pac-12 championship weekend in Vegas and what's happening to the Pac-12. But Washington State gets a win last night.
They went 3-0 yesterday. They went undefeated, right?
Yeah, I think they did, right? Arizona, Oregon. After a slow start, really looked good. Oregon with the big upset.
Yep.
How you feeling about the Pac-12 and your Cats?
Yep. No, all three of them look great. I obviously am biased. I picked all three of them in my bracket. We sold a monster Arizona bet last night. $12,000 at 10-1. That will pay $120,000.
Wow.
To include some PropSwap customers. Happy with what they saw, beating Long Beach State. I mean, that coach situation of Long Beach State was kind of goofy. He was
very weird,
unemployed.
Yes.
And, you know, he was still coaching the team. So it was kind of unsettling for Arizona fans coming into a team where these teams with nothing to lose usually perform well under the lights. Obviously, Oakland did it to Kentucky in a crazy upset yet again. I don't know how many more upsets Calipari can withstand mm-hmm. without getting fired down there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Pac-12 looked great. Wazoo looked strong. Oregon looked strong. Arizona looked really good. Arizona is 10-1 now. North Carolina 20-1. Mm-hmm. But North Carolina is the one seed. Wow. So kind of interesting relationship there.
North Carolina looked really, you know, usually they have trouble in the first round throughout the years, even with Dean Smith back in the day and Roy Williams. And, you know, they just went off. I want to apologize to both you guys for thinking that Kentucky might have been a one seed at one point. And but I also have my Colgate team that I brought up 2-3 weeks ago that's getting 14 points today. Yep. I want to ask you about the dogs, Luke. And yesterday it was a mixed bag for the casinos, but what team stood out to you that you have some tickets on, or is there a team that hasn't played yet that you have some tickets on that's more small schoolish stuff that people should keep an eye on?
Yeah. So Michigan State, we're seeing some action on. They look great. They eventually just blew past Mississippi State.
Right.
They are around 50-1. They were 200-1 about a week ago. So that's selling well. Auburn continues to catch a lot of steam. They're a trendy pick right now.
Yes.
But they were 100-1 in December, and they're now down to 15-1. Auburn is so trendy team there. I've been on Florida Atlantic. I think once this is broadcast, Florida Atlantic and the Northwestern game will have been decided. But that's still a team that I have confidence in. You know, lastly,
UAB,
Iowa State looked great.
They did.
I haven't seen a ton of UAB stuff yet.
Mm-hmm. Luke, let me ask you about one more too, because it's a team I won't, and I don't pretend to be a college basketball expert. I just don't watch a ton of it during the course of the regular season anymore. Certainly, you know, it's we fall into loving it this time of year, but I didn't know quite to the extent, like, how good Creighton is. In watching them yesterday, I was impressed. But people that do follow it much more closely that I talk to think that Creighton, and they're a three seed for crying out loud. Like,
well coached.
Creighton's well coached, right? Like, Creighton's got, and I was impressed with them yesterday from what I saw. Creighton's got a legit shot of making a run here, don't they?
They do. Yeah, Creighton's really good. They play Oregon next, though. I'm telling you, Oregon, the Pac-12 is better than people think. I think it's late games. Obviously, Arizona's the crown jewel, so people are like, well, besides Arizona, maybe I'm not going to pick anyone.
Yeah.
But Oregon's going to push them. That's going to be a good basketball game, Oregon-Creighton. But I agree with you. Creighton's really good. Not my point is they're just running into a really good 11 seed. Oregon should not be an 11 seed.
Hmm. Yeah, and you know what? I want people, when you hear enough of teams, to maybe think about going the other way. I mean, Alabama, nobody's really, they're saying 9.5 is too much, and all you're hearing is Charleston, Charleston, Charleston. It's not tailing or anything like that. Just keep your ears open. If you keep hearing the people on TV, or if you hear Luke say we got a lot of tickets on a certain team, mm-hmm. sometimes it's better just to go the other way because, you know, it looks too obvious. I'm looking at Auburn, Luke, and I'm looking at 12.5 against a Yale team that shouldn't have even won. They should have lost to Brown. And 12.5, to me, I you would think if it's Auburn and they're on all the right cylinders, it would be like some of these other teams like Connecticut that are given 26, 20, 18. I mean, when you think of Yale, you think of two things. Maybe some good outside shooting and free throws, right? So how do you look at that game? Do you think Auburn's going to walk away with it, or are you puzzled by that point spread being only 6 baskets, basically? As an underdog.
Yeah, Auburn, I agree with you, Mike. I think they're probably the most difficult team to handicap remaining.
Right.
They're getting a lot of trendy steam over the last 48 hours. They look great in the SEC championship, not taking any of that away from them. And they had a lot of big blowout wins this year. I think they had like 8 or 10, 20-point wins. I mean, they blew some teams out, like top teams, not Division II teams. Yeah, I agree. That's the most difficult team remaining, I think, to handicap.
Yale wouldn't even be
Oakland,
in.
Oakland, Michigan just did this to Kentucky. And, you know, pick your upset today. So I agree. That could be a nice one. Maybe take Yale plus 13.5, and then you flip it, you know, halfway through the game or something. And then that Nebraska-Texas A&M game, I think, is going to be really good. star player on Nebraska from Japan. He has been super fun to watch this year. And then Vermont Duke, that's another interesting one. Duke is minus 900 to win that game. That seems too high. I think Duke has been some been suspect in some games this year. So those are kind of my picks for today. And then, yeah, this weekend's going to be awesome. I mean, besides the Oakland upset, I thought most of the teams that won on Thursday looked really strong. So they're going to all those teams that now go enter the Sweet 16 playing on Saturday is going to be a blast to watch.
Did Arizona kind of get screwed having to play at 10:40 local time in Salt Lake? Like, what is that?
I know.
They played early,
pretty early morning
now.
Game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, against an East Coast team, too, out of Dayton. So, yeah, not a great draw there for being a two seed. Have to wake up that early. Yeah. So, hopefully they're drinking some coffee.
Yeah.
How the Ohtani MVP tickets go?
Yeah, let's break that scandal down next
just
week.
Real
Holy
quick.
Cow, is that a big one? Was the money stolen? Did Shohei know the guy was gambling? Like, there's a lot
to unpack.
Stones to get unturned there.
There's a lot to unpack. Good luck to your Cats. Enjoy the rest of the opening weekend, and we'll catch up with all the Sweet 16 matchups into the Elite Eight next weekend. All right, Luke?
Perfect. Enjoy the games, guys. Bye.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. There is the one and only Luke Pergandy, at Luke Pergandy. Make sure you are following him, and make sure you have the Prop Swap app. When we come back, we will continue to talk tournament, talk a little baseball opening day now that we're less than a week away. Got a few big picture questions about some teams for Mike, and want to talk about a few of the bets I've already made in terms of win totals. Mike's been good at this.
Already, huh, Carb?
Got a couple of baseball win totals I want to toss at you. Mike's been good at the win totals here the last couple of years with baseball, too. So got a few I want to throw at you coming up. Jim Miller's going to give us ponies. I believe this is opening weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, by the way, can I just say something to you and Eric and everybody at ESPN?
Yeah.
Thank you. Last week was our fifth anniversary. Carmen and I and Eric had celebrated. And we just want to thank everybody for the loyal support.
It's great. 5 years and we're still rolling. Yeah, it's awesome. All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're cruising along. We are The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is The Odds Couple with Mike North and Carmen DeFalco.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN Chicago.
On FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app and ESPN 1000.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike North, Carmen DeFalco with you every week. Catch up on demand with the app anytime, anywhere. Just make sure you have it on the ESPN Chicago app. Make sure you have it on your smartphone. You'll get the Encore replay late in the day on Saturday after White Sox spring training baseball. They take on the Mariners as we wind down the Cactus League. And I want to talk a little baseball with Mike now that opening day is coming up here next week. Mm-hmm. The Sox are the third longest shot on the board to win the World Series. No surprise there. They're 40-1 for crying out loud to win a crummy division. So nobody expects much out of this team. After the Dylan Cease trade, Mike, Vegas adjusted their win total from 63.5 in most places down to 60.5. Believe it or not, the over took a little money. They've kicked that back out to 61.5 right now, minus 110. Both ways. I have very little faith in my beloved Sox coming up this year, and there's not any reason to really go too far in depth. It just kind of sucks to see them as, you know, with the likes of the Rockies and the A's as being such a long shot on the board and having such a low season total. But the Cubs, I think, are an interesting team and one that could be worth an over bet if you think they're going to stay healthy. It's not good that Tyone's maybe going to be coming out of spring here a little bit banged up with that injury. But the Cubs total sits at 84.5. Mike, the over is where the juice is, minus 115. They are a plus 185 favorite to win the Central, slightly better than the Cardinals, who are plus $1.90. But if you look at the Fangraphs projections, they predict the Cardinals to win the division 35%, they're saying, with a final win total of 83.7 wins. That would, by the way, be the fewest of any division winner in baseball in 2024. But the Cubs, I think, are a team, if health goes their way, I think they're a team that is very much alive in a winnable NL Central this year, Mike.
Well, I'm going to tell you first off about my White Sox, okay?
go ahead.
You know that basically they're not going to have a good year when the front page has a list of the menu items. Yeah, they got a new cookie. We got a new cookie.
There's like now, a new sandwich.
Say. Yeah, here's what I would say to all my good friends over there. Don't overorder. Okay? God. Because the stuff
don't
might spoil.
Don't overorder.
The stuff might spoil. I was in the business. You don't overorder. You think you're coming for big crowds. Don't overorder. Make sure the refrigeration, make sure you check it. Because it's going to be painful for people to want to take a long trek from anywhere, even from across the expressway, to watch that. Now, for the Cubs. The Cubs are the best team in that division, okay? But a tie on to me, maybe somebody else comes up. Somebody's going to have to pick up the slack. I love Steele. Mm. I think he's a bulldog. I think he's a Lester type for this team down the road. Hendricks, to me, is batting practice for the most part, but he knows how to pitch. He's a Dylan Cease type. Dylan Cease, to me, you know, would have been a nice pickup maybe for them. But I think Consell has got a lot of pressure on him. Carbon said something last week. We haven't even talked about the Bear debacle yet. Don't worry. I'll figure that one out to get it in. But you know what? You got to figure that Consell and this team have more pressure on them than any team's had in a long time, because Carbon said last week, you know, if Caleb Williams or whoever quarterbacks the Bears has less wins, there's going to be anarchy in this town, and he was right. And I think the same should go for the Cubs. They did peter out at the end, but they played good baseball. There's a lot of people still nationally, Carm, and we know they don't know anything about anything after hearing how Fields was going to be this and Fields was going to be that. There are people that like David Ross that are still upset about it, which I was shocked to hear on one of the telecasts. And I know it was unfair, but I do know this. Craig Consell has got more pressure on him, and he's going to, I think, win this division, but health is a major concern.
They basically told you, you know, we feel like an upgrade at manager is the last thing we kind of need. So I think you're right.
I mean,
there is going to be some pressure, and let's see if he can work some of his magic. And he's been very good in Milwaukee, and let's see what it's like in amongst the pressure now, or amid the pressure playing in that ballpark in this town with, you know, expectations again for this Cubs team. So I think that's very, very true. A couple of baseball, you know, just big picture things, a couple of bets I've already made.
I can't wait to hear these. Let me write them down, baby.
I bet the Orioles over 90 and a half.
Okay,
at minus
and that's with Corbin Burns.
And that's with Corbin Burns, yep.
Okay.
And I also bet, and our buddy Jake Cantu is with us here today. He's not going to like this because he's a Ranger fan. Mm-hmm. But I bet the under on the defending champs under 88 and a half. That one is minus $1.20. You know, they've got some pretty significant pitching injuries.
They got some injuries already.
Yeah, they definitely do. Like, look, they're young guys.
But they had
look
that last year.
They did, I know.
They had two guys out last year, and they end up just tearing everybody apart. I had the over.
Yeah, sure.
But Seager's aching. Isn't he hurting a little bit? And
he's always worth a DL stint or two. You know,
yes,
they've
got
some pitching injuries. Their young prospects are impressive. But those are two bets that I've made, just so everybody knows.
Let me ask you something. If the Orioles don't win 90 games,
who's that?
If the Orioles don't win 90 games, that's a debacle. How many did they win last year?
They won 100 last year, right? Didn't they finish with 100?
And all of a sudden they're winning 90.
Yeah.
According to Vegas.
I just need them to win 91.
Oh, boy, Carm.
I think they won 100. It was either 100 or 101 last year. I mean,
and they go down to 90, and didn't they make – and they got a year under their belt. They got the Burns. The manager is respected. They sold the team. They added players.
Yeah, they sold the team. That's right. I feel like Grayson Rodriguez, who struggled early last year, their star young pitching prospect, really pitched better.
But everybody's
in the back half.
Everybody's
gone. Well, that's a good point. Like, you're not surprising anybody anymore.
No.
You know, I mean, you're not. They won 101 games last year.
Yeah.
Mike. I mean, it's like it was very impressive.
I think it's a good. I mean, look, if they're supposed to do what they're supposed to do, then you're going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just it. But I just am puzzled. It's almost, you know, from the 100 down to 90. I am puzzled by that. Unless injuries come in, they got a solid catcher, one of the best in all baseball. You got, you know, so we'll see what happens. I'm going to tell you a team that's in trouble, the Dodgers. They not only have the Ohtani thing hanging over their head, but, folks, their third and shortstop defense is pitiful. They have Mookie Betts playing shortstop right now.
It's not ideal.
He cannot go towards third really smoothly. He has trouble with those balls, and Muncy can't even bend over.
It's not ideal. Yeah. You know, and I think in their minds, Gavin Lux would be the guy, their second baseman would be the guy playing short. It just didn't – defensively, I think they realized that they have some issues there, and so they're trying Betts because he's such a guy. I mean, his athletic ability is obviously second to none, but it's weird, Mike. You're right. For a team with this kind of expectation.
Should be your best player. Should be your best, and he is, except defensively he's not. We saw this in Chicago with Tim Anderson. You got to be able to pick up the ball. I watch him, but Muncy won't help him. And
no,
you need a pretty good third baseman.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that might, and you know, not only that, but that division, other than the Rockies, that division looks tough, Mike.
Padres, I watched the game. I watched both. I had the under the first day, and then I figured, you know what? I'm going to take the under again. It was over in the first inning because people don't realize this. Maybe that Japanese pitcher, his interpreter is the same as Ohtani's, and they're good buddies. And it looked like he was so shook, he couldn't even throw the ball close to home plate, folks. And what he did, he was tattooed. So Padres are good. I just think the Dodger defense is going to have a problem.
Yeah.
You're going to get extra outs on that side of the field unless they make a change.
They could just, I don't know that anybody's quite good enough to unseat.
They got
to
try to outslug everybody.
Yeah, and but that division is good. I mean, I think the Padres have little bit of a sneaky shot. I think that the Giants made enough moves where they're going to be improved this offseason. And let's not forget, Arizona was an ascending team that, you know, got unbelievably hot and made it to October, maybe played a little out over their skis. But that's a good young team
with a lot
of talent. Yeah.
Division. What are you seeing in the NCAA tournament? Teams that are experienced. What are you seeing? And teams that play like teams, not looking at one or two stars to try to carry them. That's the one thing that bothers me just a little bit about the Cubs. The only, I guess, bona fide star on the team, when you stop and think about it, with a lot of budding young stars like Nico Horner and others, is Bellinger, isn't he? He's the only guy, really.
Yes. I think a couple of their young guys, maybe, but they're still prospects.
No.
You're right.
It's not a loaded club.
No.
You know,
no.
In fact, I would argue Consul had some studs on Milwaukee that would be comparable to more than he has here in the everyday lineup back in the day, like Joe, like Kane in center field and Yelich.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he had some real star
pitching
power.
We're on our game today, aren't we, Ken?
We are. Yeah. And he had some real star pitching power in Milwaukee. So I love that baseball's coming back. It'll be great.
Oh, it's great.
Look forward to it, even though our beloved White Sox won't fare very well. When we come back, Jim Miller's going to give us some ponies, and then we'll kick around a few other games that I want to bring up and give you some best plays here as we roll into day two and the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. So we're coming right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. It's Mike and Carmen. We are the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
The Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Entering the home stretch on this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike North, Carmen DeFalco. Every week you can catch us on demand with the ESPN Chicago app. Encore replay will come your way late in the day Saturday after spring training baseball, White Sox and Mariners. It is opening weekend at Hawthorne, and that's where we're going next. The expert handicapper over at Hawthorne Racecourse, you follow him on X at Hawthorne Gym. He's one of the best in the business, and he's got some tips to make a little money this weekend outside of just betting the NCAA tournament. Say hi to Jim Miller.
Jimmy!
Boys, highly anticipated opening weekend because we're starting here this weekend. We race thoroughbreds all the way till the second week of October this year. So it's going to be a long extended meet, more turf racing, really big field sizes opening weekend too, and you can expect that all season long as well.
What are you guys expecting for the weekend between opening day, Sweet 16, you know, games to decide the Sweet 16 Saturday and Sunday? The book will be open. I would anticipate it's going to be pretty crowded over there this weekend.
Well, and it is, and there's a lot of reservations for the book too. We even saw on Thursday and Friday, the first 2 days of the tournament, that the book was very busy. There were a lot of people out there taking in all the action. So to have that on top of the horse racing, you're going to see that combination. And Mike, we've talked about that crossover time and again, having the combination from the horse player to the sports player. And we're seeing that, and it will definitely be in full effect this weekend.
You know, adrenaline. Let's talk about it. Baseball players get it on opening day. Ohtani gets it if a bet hits. just little things. Let's talk about adrenaline. Do they, and I'm just, Major League Baseball players, football players, opening day, do the drivers even know the difference? Because do they even care? Because they drive in other meets, like you said, they go out to the Meadowlands, they go out to Santa Anita, maybe stuff like that. Or is opening day special, not only to the racetrack organization, but to the drivers and horses?
Oh, no, it definitely is special. I mean, especially for the jocks, because you look at a meet like this where there's a lot of horses. Some guys that just race here really in the Chicagoland area for the most part throughout the course of the year. So it means business is going to improve. It means their income is going to improve. You see a little bit more of a buzz around the backstretch, a little bit more of a buzz in the building as well, too. And that's really the thing that you do see all around. And then for the horses themselves, because what happens now is they've been under the same training routine for weeks. So it means you're getting your feed at the same time. You're getting your walk at the same time of that. Then all of a sudden race day comes. Well, your feed is taken away. That means something's coming. It's the anticipation of a race and things along those lines, too. So it is all that preparation, but definitely the excitement. And you can see it. There is a little bit of a buzz, and that's definitely something that's helpful.
All right, so we've got opening weekend, the thoroughbred season kicking off at Hawthorne. That'll be great. Get out there, watch the games at the PointsBet Sportsbook. Any big stakes races that we can wager on around the country?
Yeah, well, you got 200-point derby preps this weekend. So we're going to have two derby preps that we're focusing on at a race at Hawthorne. So
okay.
Going to start out at Turfway Park. Race number 12 is the Jeff Ruby Stakes. This is a race that Two Phils won last year leading into the Kentucky Derby. It's a 100-point race. We're going to bet the three, Lucky Jeremy, across the board at 8-1 in there. Then go to Fairgrounds, race 12 there, the 100-point Louisiana Derby, bet the 10, Common Defense, across the board. And then, hey, home cooking now, guys. Race 8 at Hawthorne, we're going to bet the 1. Lily's Woofy across the board. Make some money and get ready for a little bit of Sweet 16 action.
Love it. So the Jeff Ruby at Turfway on Saturday, race 12, the 3-horse across the board. That's one of those 100-pointers. Then Fairgrounds, the Louisiana Derby on Saturday, also race 12. That's the 10-horse across the board. And then home cooking at Hawthorne for Saturday, race 8, the 1-horse across the board. Is that right, Jim?
That's right, boys. Let's make some money.
All right. Have a great weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, guys. Good luck.
Jimmy!
There he is, the one and only Jim Miller. Before we get some best plays, Mike, let's just kind of talk about a few other things here. As we know, Illinois and MSU have advanced. And you mentioned it earlier, like, can Illinois take that next step now where they've kind of failed here, and Brad Underwood has historically kind of failed. Can they make the second weekend, that Duquesne team look pretty tough in a minor upset, a 11-6 upset of BYU yesterday? So how we feel about Illinois? And they're laying a pretty big number as Illinois is taking some steam. It's out to now 10.5 after opening at around 9. What do we think about the Illini?
Well, after I found out they were pretty good a couple weeks ago, I did some study. They won the Big Ten, right?
Okay. They did, and they won. They won the Big Ten. They won the conference tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, they won the tournament, and they win that game yesterday, which notoriously in the past, folks, being an Illinois guy forever, going back to Lou Henson and those guys, didn't always happen. Now, that being said, I like Illinois. I think they can move on. I'm more worried, and I know that the game's probably getting ready or is kicked off. I'm more worried about Northwestern today than I
tough
am
game.
About Illinois. It's a tough game.
Tough draw.
Yeah. So I sort of like Illinois because from what I've read, doing my research, they're closers. They can close.
Yeah.
In the past, that hasn't always been the case.
Yep. What do you think about it? Like, could this be one of those weird MSU years where, like, when they go in as a highly ranked or rated team, sometimes we've seen Izzo have early exits, and then when they go in, when they sort of just barely get in by the skin of their teeth and they didn't even win 20 games.
It's
like,
Izzo.
This is when Izzo can go on a run. Now, they got it. You talk about a tough draw. They got to play a really talented North Carolina team.
Right.
They're about a 4.5, 5-point underdog. Mm-hmm. But any chance Michigan State keeps this thing going?
Yeah, I thought, you know, people thought Izzo's getting in, but like sort of like Tony Bennett did. You know, Virginia didn't even deserve to get in. You heard everybody for once in their lives. Everybody said they didn't deserve to get in, and they were right. That being said, I love Tom Izzo. I thought he was going to be great when the first year he was over there. I thought he'd be a good coach. Never dreamt he'd be this good. In fact, used to take ribbing from the other hosts saying, "Oh, the great Tom Izzo." Mike, well, they don't say that anymore. He's a great coach. I saw him prepare. Mississippi State looked helpless against them the other day. So, you know what? I give Michigan State a puncher's chance. You know why?
Okay.
Usually they are offensively challenged. They were hitting their threes the other day in some key shots.
This is usually where Izzo is pretty damn good, so that should be fun tomorrow. All right, what do we like in terms of best plays, Mike?
Baby, on a roll, right? So let's keep it going. That's all I'm going to tell you. Don't forget, I'm going to be on at 147, 2-0 last week. Had two unders for the pick with Carmen and Yurko, one of the best shows. Tom Thayer sitting in today. It'd be good to talk to Tommy again. I'm going to go with first golf. I was 2-0 last week, 5-4 overall. Can we make money playing golf? You don't have to go with me. But I'm going to take Adam Shank, -115 over Brendan Todd. It should be taken off in about an hour here.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yep.
I'm going to give one game here a little bit later this afternoon, so hopefully if you're catching up early on the app, you can get this one. Now Mike brought up some good points when we were talking about the Yale-Auburn game with Luke Pergandy, and I don't blame you for being a little bit scared of laying 12.5 or 13 full game with Auburn. Bruce Pearl, while he's a good coach, obviously he's just 3-6-1 against the number in the opening weekend in the first round in his career in the NCAA tournament. But I actually think Auburn's going to come out and play well in the first half and try to make, maybe not a statement, but just continue this very impressive run they've been on down the stretch. I think Yale ultimately tries to slow this game down to stay in it, maybe junk it up a little to see if they can keep it close in the second half. But I like Auburn minus 7 in the first half. So we'll play Tigers minus 7 for the first half. And maybe this is a situation if, you know, you agreed with Mike was saying earlier, like an Auburn money line, that's going to be a huge price. But like Yale with the points full game, if you if you feel something
like
that. Yeah, maybe. But I like Auburn in the first half at least, minus 7. I think they play a good first 20 minutes coming off of the weekend they just came off of. So we'll go Auburn minus 7 in the first half.
And by the way, I mean, Yale should have lost to Brown. I mean, they didn't even deserve to get in. This should be a 22-point spread like UConn and some of these other teams. If Auburn is all that, we'll see what happens there. In that same game, Carm, do you have the total of Auburn?
Yes, I can get it. Hold on, Mike. I have it right here. The total is 140.5.
I'm taking the under.
I think that's a good play.
Yep. Thank you, my friend. When we won our last double play when you said that, so it's not the jinx that we used to think it is. I think that's a good play. I don't think Auburn's that good a shooting team. I think defense will – I think Yale's predictable. Go out and get the three-point shooters, and I think it's going to be one of those 65-61 games, something like
that. All right. That sounds good. And then I'll give out one more
quick. I love when you give out one more. You know that.
This is another game we talked about with Luke. Arizona seems to be getting a little screwed here. They got to play in Salt Lake the first game on Saturday, a 10:45 local time out there. But first half under, and there are some pretty good trends with those earlier games. Dayton, Arizona, first half under tomorrow. We'll go ahead and say that's one of the best plays as well. All right,
that's
now
a good one. Now, a man that needs no introduction. That's right. The road is paved wherever he walks. It's Eric O's betting show. What's up, E?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm actually more of a grass guy. So if the road was nice grass and I could barefoot it everywhere, I'd prefer that. So if we can work that out.
All right.
So I'm going Friday night March Madness, and I am looking at – so this intel is coming from our college hoops expert here and Tyler Aki.
Uh-oh.
He's big on James Madison, Wisconsin game.
Yeah.
He thinks James Madison is they're one of the top three-point shooting teams, while Wisconsin is one of the worst defending three-point shooting teams.
That's right.
He thinks that James Madison can win outright. I'll just take the coward's way out, and I'm fine with taking the 5.5 for James Madison and Wisconsin tonight.
Yeah, Wisconsin's pretty physical, but
beautiful.
Look, that's up in the air game. That's a no play for me, Carm, but that's – hey, Tyler. The only thing that would make it better for him is if Syracuse was in. But he had to be Jim Boeheim ain't a bad analyst. I heard him last week.
He's not bad. Yeah.
No.
All right. Great show today. It was a lot of fun. Thank you to Eric Ostrowski. Thanks to Jake Cantu helping out here, too. I'm on remote today, and we appreciate Jake getting us set up. Thanks to Luke Pergandy. Thank you to Jim Miller. And most importantly, thank you for listening. Hope everyone enjoys the rest of the opening weekend. Mike and I will be right back talking Sweet 16, Elite Eight games next week. So happy wagering, Mike. Enjoy all the madness. And we'll talk to everybody again next Friday on The Odds Couple.
So long, everybody.
This is The Odds Couple on ESPN 1000.